I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I know.
Isn't it weird? It feels like we've been gone for like
100 years.
At least 100. I was going to say 102.
Well, I'm sick again, so some things never effing change.
Oh, you gave me a hug.
I know.
Oh.
Why, God? Why? I got home and I was like, I'm taking amazing care of myself. I have some downtime. I have been like, drinking like turmeric shots and wellness shots and blue-green algae shots and supplementing like a banshee and going to yoga, and it's like, and then I got a cold. What? Why, God?
Because
why?
You never stopped after tour. After we all went home, you
man.
Continued on to New York to do just a little segment on The View.
The View.
And then you did other stuff. You never stopped.
But I did come home and stuff. Why does God keep, I feel like God is punishing me. My shrink is like, God is not up in heaven making you sick. I'm like, well, something's wrong. I think I have cancer. That's not even funny. I shouldn't even joke about that. But it is like, it's insane. And my kids aren't even sick, so I can't even blame it on them.
Usually you do.
Yeah, well, usually then it is their fault. But yeah. This time it's not.
By the
it's
way.
It's not their fault. It's
not to get off
ridiculous.
The sick topic, but you rocked on The View. I thought you did. No, I'm not kidding.
I thought you did time. Great. I really did. I think I got to tell you, Janice, I don't know. I just, Biggest Loser serves its purpose, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, you go in and you do your job and all of that, but being able to do The View and to talk about other things, you know, people always say, oh, the fitness guru, and it's like, yeah, but not really, you know, I know everything about my area of expertise, but it's only because I become very efficient at utilizing wellness, health, nutrition, and fitness as a means to rebuild somebody's life, self-worth, and self-image. And like being able to do The View and talk about other things, whether it's current events or relationships or money. And the other amazing thing about that show is they don't decide what those hot topics are until literally before they step onto that stage. So they're in hair and makeup, and they have like 70 different ones that they sort of spitfire through. It's like, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And they kind of choose what they're passionate about and what they want to talk about. And they get out there and they just do it. It's not scripted at all. It's not planned. It's not, it's just, you know, everything is so produced these days and full of crap and scripted. And then in the break, they're like, do you guys want to keep talking about this or you want to do something else? In the commercial break, the show's live. I mean, it's just...
I love that. That's great.
It was awesome because it was just... It was very organic, man.
Well, I totally acknowledge that you want a new challenge. However, I find it interesting how you are comparing efficiency to boredom. And isn't that funny? When we're efficient at something,
yeah.
Why does it have to become boring?
I just want to broaden the conversation. And I think that's why... I like this podcast so much because, you know, I could easily just, okay, I'm going to be a fitness guru and I'll just make $1 gazillion being a fitness guru. Or you could be, you know, I'm the dog guy. I'm the money person. I'm the chef. I'm the fitness guru. But I just, it's like, it's not about fitness. It's about utilizing fitness as, of course, one tool to have a better life, a life that has more depth, has more richness, has more intimacy, has more success. And of course, with that comes risk and vulnerability. But it's looking at the world and it's looking at ourselves in the world and how we see the world and our opinions of the world and can they be shifted, and looking at all different conversations and arguments and issues from multiple angles and then arriving at a conclusion that works best for us. And it's just, it's a bigger picture. For me, I see myself as a citizen of the world.
Right.
Not a fitness guru. I'm sick of it. I want people to be citizens of the world. And then it's like, hey, by the way, did you know that if you took care of your body in the following ways, you'll be a far more successful globetrotter? The quality of your globetrotting will be significantly enhanced, and the quantity of your years globetrotting will be significantly increased. Does that make any sense?
No, it does. However,
I'm an indefatigable globetrotter.
A who? An
infant? I read this about my son in a parenting magazine, and it said that toddlers were indefatigable globetrotters. Like, they just constantly are exploring the world. And whether it's a piece of paper or the rock they're trying to put in their mouth and swallow, or, you know, a pen cap. Like, it's just everything is fascinating to them. And I feel that way. Obviously, I've learned to take those things for granted in life, which is probably a shame. But, you know, now you're looking at different parts of the world, different cultures, different viewpoints, different issues. And all of that, to me, is having an understanding in these open dialogues and these conversations allows people to have more richness in their career, in their relationship, in their recreational time, as parents, as children, as coworkers, as bosses. I don't know. I feel like doing The View, I'm just me. I'm just Jillian.
Well,
I'm not America's toughest trainer. By the way, we didn't talk about diet, and we didn't talk about fitness.
I did notice that.
And we didn't talk about exercise for your butt. And I was like, I was in heaven. It's
I think you're definitely hand tied with The Biggest Loser, because there's a formula they want you to follow, and there's a lot of people editing the hell out of that show.
If you did
take a step into having a conversation with one of the contestants about something else, they're going to
cut it anyway.
I think what I found out on this tour and in speaking to people at the show is that you were able to show a whole side of you that you don't get to show. And I think that's what The View represented for you, is like, hey, there's more to me. That been this pigeonhole.
Yes, I'm so sick of it. And it's just, that's exactly it. It's not the work. Because on Loser, you're right. Sure, I do have all those conversations. They just cut them. Then it's like the challenge and the this and the that. And it's America's Toughest Trainer. And then you go on a show and then they play a clip of you yelling. And it's just become, it's like a one-trick pony. I'm so sick of it. And with the live tour, you know, people were thinking like, oh, how long is she going to talk? An hour? And it's like, not only was the show 3 hours, you and I both know it could have gone on far longer. And that's the thing. Like, whenever I would have those conversations about daytime, well, what is she going to talk about? Exercise is only, you know, how many times can we talk about exercise? You know, look at this show that failed, or look at that show that failed, or people are getting bored with this, you know, Dr. Oz, or, you know, the doctors. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And it's like, but it's not a fitness show.
Yeah.
It's about being a citizen of the world. That's what it's about. And of course, yes, it's about being healthy, but health doesn't just pertain to your level of fitness. It pertains to your emotional life, your psychological life, and yes, your physical life. And I don't purport to be an expert in those areas. That's why it's a journey. We're indefatigable globetrotters going on a journey in the world, seeking out information and discussing issues and keeping an open dialogue and challenging one another and putting out our viewpoint and then considering other people's viewpoints. And that's life. That's what I'm passionate about. So sure, I've become great at what I do because it enhances the globetrotting experience.
Gotcha.
You know, I had such a good time. And
And you look nice. You wore a very nice outfit. I was, yeah. Although I was, again, concerned about all the gals wore the very dangerous shoes.
But we sat most of the time.
Yes, sat with the legs crossed.
Yeah.
See, I could wear those kind of shoes if I sat with the legs crossed.
Yeah.
But if I had to move anywhere.
We didn't really move anywhere.
No, you had to move from set to set. Now, between the takes.
Yeah.
Now,
there's no takes. It's live.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between the
segments.
Segments. Like, was there any bitch slapping, anything?
No, they were really nice to me. I was stunned because I thought that I was like, okay, you know, you're an outsider. You're walking into somebody's, you know, it's
playground.
Their home, so to speak. They were lovely to me. I couldn't believe how nice they were to me. But Joy wasn't there. Joy is the one that always gives me a hard time, and Joy wasn't there. So
Joy could probably hurt you.
No.
No, I think she could take
you
down.
No.
You know why? Because she's a street fighter.
No. She don't.
No, I think you're.
Oh, God, a bitch. Are you out of your mind?
No, I think she'd take you down low. Like, I think Joy and you in a
girl,
fight.
I would bite her ears and gouge out her eyes, and I would pull her hair.
No, but I think she would. I think she'd stick a shiv in you.
I would have already shanked her before she even.
That's the opening move.
I would have jumped out
Jillian
from
here.
Behind the door and shanked her.
No, I still think. Jillian. No. I know you can fight. And I saw you break the board. I did see you break the board on tour. We bought some boards, and she broke the board backstage. I said, don't take him on stage because, you know, she hasn't done it for a while. I put the kibosh on that. I said, God, don't take him on stage. And they wanted to. And I said, let's see if she can do it backstage. And there's Jillian. Ka-conk, broke the board. I still think Joy could probably snap your neck with her thighs.
There's no way.
No, she'd just take your neck between her thighs and just go.
No
and
way.
You'd be down.
Nope.
So it's probably good that Joy wasn't there.
No. Can you inhale through your nose and your mouth?
Yes.
I can't.
Well, because you're sick.
Well,
I have to, like, literally stop breathing through my mouth.
Well, it's like snorkeling.
It's a deep breath.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Is that the end of the segment?
Oh, are we recording? So, I guess I'll do a fitness segment for you.
Oh, thank you, Jillian.
Which are, like, I mean...
I know.
Gems coming from me, of course.
I know.
Like,
I learned a lot. I learned a lot this tour about the fitness from you. Yes,
well,
I did.
The interesting thing about the tour is I tried to make it as simple as possible for people.
Thank you very much.
What?
For some reason, that just made it sound like...
I tried to make it simple.
No, you did.
Because the thing is, sure, can we get nitpicky about what foods boost human growth hormone and what foods will boost testosterone? But it's not... I just think for people, like, to be able to lose it and to be able to keep it off, the more simple you make it, the more manageable you make it, the better it's going to be, because we're not going to go the rest of our lives without a brownie or a cupcake or this or that.
That's
so if you
right.
show people how to find that balance... I think that's more important than, hey, here's how you lose 100 pounds in a month. Can I do it? I mean, or 2 months. Can I do it for somebody? Yeah, but, like, the average bear is not going to be doing that. So I think the more valuable advice is helping them find balance with their diet and their fitness routine. But if you know, but there's no reason that we shouldn't give fine-tuning information on the show. It is, of course... a health and wellness show.
So this is what we're doing. It's fine.
So I thought
tuning.
I would a little fine tuning on some basic body movement exercises.
Okay.
Yeah, just a few pointers to up the ante a little bit. Exercise upgrades, if you will.
Oh, gee, I like that. I like that.
Well, it's really just about how I want you thinking when you're performing the exercise.
Right.
So or ways to make them slightly more difficult, a little of both. So let's start with a lunge. I always tell people when you're lunging, stand with your feet hip-width apart and step out into the lunge with your feet hip-width apart. Well, if you want to make it more difficult, stand with your feet from your starting position with them as close together as possible. And then if you want to, you know, lunge as though you're stepping onto a tightrope because it challenges your core. It's significantly harder. I don't suggest it to the average athlete because I'm worried they're going to teeter over. But if you're an advanced athlete, then you would lunge as though you were lunging on a tightrope, and it's way harder.
It's way harder.
I would never do it, obviously, with my contestants because they're not able to do stability work. But remember, we talked about factors of change, adding on. Okay, now we're going to add speed. Now we're going to add instability. Now we're going to add resistance. Well, in this particular instance, to upgrade that lunge, if you lunge on a tightrope, you're adding some instability, and it makes it that much harder.
Yeah, no, I like
but
that.
But do not do it until you've mastered your form. And I mean, your back knee is an inch from the ground. Your legs are in 90-degree angles. Your front thigh is parallel to the floor. Your knee is not going over your ankle. And you could literally run a bar from the top of your skull through your spine and your tailbone into the floor. And it would be completely perpendicular with the floor on the ceiling.
So obviously no weight. I mean, would you do this eventually
with
weight?
Oh, yeah. With an advanced athlete. Absolutely.
But at first, no. First.
I would actually get the basic lunge down, add weight to the basic lunge. Then I would go to the tightrope lunge. Then I would add weight to the tightrope lunge. Then I would go into a plyo.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Now, the next one is a deadlift, a stiff leg deadlift. So stiff leg deadlift, your feet are about hip width apart. There's a very slight bend in the knee. That angle, yeah, exactly. The angle of the leg does not change. It's not
see,
a squat.
I didn't know you slightly bent the knee. I did. I do it.
Don't lock. Don't lock the joints.
Yeah.
Slight bend in the knee. And then you hinge at the hips and you drive your tailbone out behind you. You pull your belly button into your spine. Keep your back flat. Shoulder blades pulled in to your spine the entire time. But here's the key. What you want to do is make sure – think of yourself as trying to shave your legs with the bar.
Okay.
And here's why. Because every degree that bar is away from your body, it places more strain on your back, which is going to increase your chance of injury, and it limits the emphasis on the hamstrings and the glutes, which is really what that move is for.
And then you have to wear the funny socks like Bob wears. So
that's why he wears the funny socks. That is exactly why he wears those silly socks.
Okay.
It's a fashion statement, of course, a CrossFit fashion statement, but that is their logic for wearing the silly socks.
Gotcha.
Because he wears the socks when he's training on Loser, not doing Olympic lifting, but the... I do love you, honey, but it's just it's like a husband, and I'm just like, what in the name of Christ are you doing? We wear these, so I'm like, but you're not lifting today, sweetheart. It's a training day. Freaking anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So
right.
Yeah.
So, like,
try to shave your legs with the bar.
Gotcha.
That's the whole idea.
Okay.
And then at the top of the movement, don't arch your back, but squeeze your butt cheeks like you're clenching your fists. So it's because that isometric contraction at the top is a really critical part of that move.
I got a nice hard ass.
Oh my god.
I was just Jake. Feeling it. I was just feeling Ooh. It as
I'm trying to zone out on that one.
Ooh. Yes. Jake's just buried in his phone now. He's like, oh god.
That's nice.
That's too much information.
That's good.
New tweet. Janice has a nice hard ass.
No, it's
Ooh,
good.
Yuck.
No, you said to clench it. Now I'm happy with that. I'm pleased. All right, carry on.
Egad. This is just totally out of left field.
No, you said to squeeze it, and I did, and I went,
commentary.
You know I like to mime the movement while you explain.
I know, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Rose. So... I want you to create, okay, so let's imagine you're doing a bent over row or a seated row, right?
All right.
Try to create as much space between your ears and your shoulders as you possibly can. Pull them back. Drop them down. Because a lot of times when we start rowing, we engage the traps.
Oh, so yes, I cheat like that.
Now watch. If you want to pull your shoulders away from your ears, where do they go?
Back
and down. And then when you pull the shoulders back, what happens? You adduct the shoulder blades. You pull the shoulder blades into your spine.
But is that safe?
That's what you should always be doing.
Ooh, it feels kind of vulnerable.
You want to think about like crushing an orange between your shoulder blades. And
kidding.
Yeah, and don't release the shoulder blades when you release the weight to start position. The shoulder blades should stay adducted.
See, and I do
and
that
engaged.
Too. I release.
You're releasing the contraction. And you're pulling, and watch what happens when you release. The shoulders come up and forward.
Right. Wow.
So think about, that's a deadlift though, what you're doing there.
Yeah. So
this
row.
Is a row. Yeah. So think shoulders as far away from the ears as possible. And in a seated row as well. So here.
Right. Yes.
Same
thing.
Got it.
Okay,
good. All right. Now, when it comes to a squat, a lot of people have a hard time. We always sit down, the knees go forward. Have you watched people squat and they squat and their knees go forward, right, over their toes? I want you to think about sitting down between your legs, not on top of your knees.
Okay.
So, and when you're doing it, you want to open your feet a little wider than hip width. Good. And you want to track the toes out.
Okay.
And I also want you to think about, imagine you had a towel, like a paper towel that's a string of paper towels, right? That is under both feet.
Right.
And your goal when you're squatting is it pressing down into the ground and imagining that you would tear those paper towels apart so you get some outside tension in the squat because it works more of your glutes.
Interesting how often it's the imagery that helps.
It's cueing, yeah. You can.
It's amazing.
There's different ways of cueing people.
Is that what you call it, cueing?
Cueing, yeah. Or like I'll touch people as well. Like I'll touch them where I want them to be contracting. It's amazing how many people's asses I've had my hands on. I swear to God.
I think we should just end the segment.
Julia Roberts,
right there.
Pink, all of them. I'm like, squeeze here. And then you don't even think. You're like, oh, I'm grabbing Pink's ass right now. Okay. Hey.
Yes. I'm Jillian Michaels. You have no idea how many asses I've grabbed.
It's true.
You may know me from such asses as.
Yeah, exactly. Although you don't really grab, you're not really grabbing. It's just a finger. Yeah, you just tap them. So they're become mindful of where it
is.
Or you'll say, imagine that you're pulling apart a towel so they put outside tension on the legs. Or sit back imagine you're sitting on a toilet. Because you're sitting back and down, or between your legs, not on top of your knees.
Right. Like
when you sit on top of your knees, then your knees bend forward.
Otherwise, you'll have calves like Popeye's arms. Great big bulbous things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then...
sure.
And then when it comes to a push-up, just a little tip for improving power. Don't think about lifting. Because a lot of times we think about lifting our body back up. Right?
Yeah.
Try to push your hands through the floor.
No.
Think about it. When you're doing a push-up, even though you know you're pushing yourself up, what are you thinking of? Are you thinking up or are you thinking down? Right. Think down.
I'm totally thinking up.
Try to push something down.
Yeah.
Push away, and it generates more power. Because you're lifting not with your hands. You're lifting.
With
the
your
lift
core.
Is coming with the core.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're adding more upper body power if you're thinking press. Push away.
They're very good.
Of course they
are. I'm going to listen to this segment again. Once it's on the radio or in your internet box or your little iPod, whatever you do listen to, I'm going to listen to this again.
You mean phone, internet box?
The box.
What's an internet box?
Like laptop.
A laptop?
I'm just saying, this is good because I'm going to take this little recording. I'm going to take this recording to the gym with me.
Phone. She means phone.
Nope. I mean the internet box, the desktop.
Computer.
It depends on what people listen to the show on.
Canada's a weird place, Jillian.
No, I've been there. It's just her, Jake.
That's good, though. Thank you for those. Those are the fine-tuning your exercise upgrades. No, exercise. That's what that was. Very, very good. And I did like my favorite line again. Say it again, Jillian. You have no idea how many hours I've touched. That's my favorite line of the entire day.
Tell you. I've touched them all. I have a super special guest today. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, my buddy Maria Menounos is going to be on.
Very cool.
Yeah, I know it is. She's my friend, though.
Oh, you not know your what? Friend. You know what? Don't even start with me with my friend stuff.
Well, I'm just saying.
She's Maria, she gets so entitled about her friends.
Well, yeah, because like if Maria was the popular girl in school, she would be my best friend, not yours. And she is the popular girl in school. That's kind of like what I'm saying, and she's my friend.
All right, I'll just go sit over here
with Fran. She doesn't even know you or care who you are. Yeah, but anyway, hi, buddy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm so excited about your new movie.
Thank you.
I want to talk all about it. So it's called Adventures of Serial Buddies.
Yeah, it's an indie film that Kevin, who you know, my other half, and
yes.
I produced, he wrote and directed the movie.
Oh, he wrote and directed it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I produced and took a starring role in it as well.
How fantastic.
And so it's, we've coined it the first serial killer buddy film of all time.
And wait a second. Are you playing a serial killer?
Dumb and Dumber meets Dexter.
Okay. You're the most lovely person in the world, so you as a serial killer makes me so happy I can't stand it.
Well, I wish I was a serial killer. That would have been a little bit more fun. I actually played a sorority sister who happened to come across these guys. And so, you know, there are these, like, nitwits on this road trip, and at some point they come to my sorority house, and Beth Bears, who stars in Two Broke Girls, Kevin had originally discovered in L.A. and was like,
wow.
Tell me you're an actress. And she's like, oh, I'm studying it at UCLA. One thing leads to another. He wrote her a role in this script, didn't even audition her. And she came down and made the movie with us. And then soon after, blew up on Two Broke Girls.
Wow.
Well, she plays the ditzy sorority sister, and I'm the one who's got, like, the third eye on these clowns that are coming in.
Oh.
And so it's funny. The movie stars Christopher Lloyd, Chris McDonald, Artie Lang, Kathy Lee Gifford. Oh.
Kathy Lee, I love it.
Yeah, Henry Winkler did the narration for the movie, and so he's an important part of it, too. And it was fun. It's a very hard process making your own movie, and now we're out promoting it, so we're excited.
Oh, honey, what was your favorite part of making the movie?
Oh, my God. My favorite part about making the movie was the fact that I did it from start to finish myself. Like,
yeah.
From the script all the way to the publicity, you know, I was involved every step of the way. And, you know, that's cool. The first film that I did with Kevin, I kind of came in, you know, later in the process. And so for me to kind of be in it step by step, I got to direct second unit. I got to, you know, do so many cool things. I shot some of the scenes. I shot second camera.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, I was a film major in school, too, so I have that background, and I love filmmaking.
So tell me also, honey, how's Extra going?
Extra's great. I'm here now. I just finished an interview with Bruce Jenner and Brody Jenner for their new season of The Kardashians. We're doing great. We're having a great time at the Grove. It's so different being outside and not in a studio. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the energy from people, and I'm excited that it's summer, so the weather is like warming up out here, and you know, we're doing really well. Our ratings have been, you know, up, and it's a good time.
Any ridiculous fitness challenges they have? Every single time I go on the show, it's like, we're making Mario run through the Grove in his underwear, and then Maria is going to have to skydive off of the movie theater. I'm like,
I know. We did one fitness challenge, a YouTube fitness challenge, where you had to do two things at once. You had to do your sit-ups, and you have to make your breakfast at the same time, which sounded so dumb. But we did it, and I was like, I think I actually beat Mario. I did more sit-ups than him because he was so, you know, focused on trying to make a good oatmeal. And I was like, throw the shit in a bowl, and I'm gonna beat you in the ab contest. And I did. I was very excited.
Oh my gosh! Well, I would never put it past you to crush him like a bug. That's my girl. I couldn't be more proud of you. I expect you to win every single one of those competitions that come up in the future. By the way, my money is on you.
I try. He cheats though.
All men cheat, dude. See, that's the thing.
I know, right?
They are. My dad used to cheat at Monopoly, and I was 5. I was just like, really?
Yeah.
I'm a kid. What's wrong with you? And he would like steal extra money from the bank, and you know what I mean? And I would bust him. Like if he was a 40-year-old. Anyway, so tell them again, where can they watch this movie? It's on iTunes and your website, yes?
Yeah, you can go to Serial Buddies, Serial with an S, SerialBuddies.com, and you can download it right there on the front page, or you can click on the iTunes button, or you can just go to iTunes yourself and just download Adventures of Serial Buddies, so whatever's easiest for people.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm pretty excited.
You're not invited, though, Janice. I'm so excited to finally be on your podcast. I actually think at one point I was supposed to come in because I remember hearing that you were somewhere near me, and I was like, oh, that's great. And then they just told me, they're like, oh, you're getting on a call right now. I'm like, oh, okay.
You was when you were doing Dancing with the Stars, and then you were in the hospital because your foot friggin' snapped in half.
I know. You know, I just healed in January. It took almost a full year.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was wild. I just started being able to work out, like really work out, maybe like a few months ago.
It's because you kept dancing on it.
I mean, my feet were shattering before my eyes on that show. It was really bad, and I didn't want to stop because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So now I'm fully healed, and I'm going to start dancing again because I miss it so much.
Well, you were a fan. I mean, you are a fantastic dancer.
Thank you.
But let's just...
we got to get you on.
Oh, no. See, let me be really clear. I have zero rhythm as well.
You have no rhythm at all? Like, you can't go dance in a club?
Like, no, dude. It's tragic.
So really?
Yeah, I know. I'd sit in the corner in the booth and just try to look cool.
Yeah, but you know what? You're competitive, and you're obviously so in shape and athletic that I bet you anything, if you got Derek like I did, I couldn't put one foot in front of the other and have any kind of even balance. I was lame.
No.
I think he looked at me and was like, oh, we're done in 2 weeks. Like,
what are you talking about? You're super athletic. I thought you were amazing.
But I wasn't when I started, and I never – everyone bet against me. Everyone who knows me was like, she's going to suck. They all thought I was going to be out right away. And you know what? If you really, really work hard, I bet you can do anything in life. I really do. I believe that.
I know, but honey, public humiliation is not on my...
it's not on your bucket list?
No, girl. I'm like, but sweetie, yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
All right, mama. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I miss you. I can't wait to, like, get to actually see you and hang out. Maybe we'll do, like, a barbecue this summer.
Bye, honey.
Take care. Mwah.
I'm excited.
I know you are.
I'm excited. You know why?
I will. Tell me why.
We have a little sponsor.
Really?
Yeah. Wait,
tell me about it, Jillian.
Yeah. And not only does it make us seem official, it makes us sound literate.
Literate?
Literate. Like we read. Oh. Which I do, by the way. But now I can tell everybody that I read.
All right.
Which just, like, helps to enhance
my depth of character. So Audible.com.
Yes.
He's sponsoring our little podcast, and they have a special offer for our listeners. So you go to www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise, and they're giving a free audiobook and a 30-day trial for free by signing up.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay, so you got to read Gone Girl. Everybody's reading it. It's awesome. I can't give it away. Only smart people get it, though, of course. But I you might understand it. I think you should try.
You know, someone should hurt you one day.
No, I highly recommend it. I think you'll like it.
Gone Girl?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait. I have to spell the URL for people. This is important. Okay. So everybody, for the free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audible.com, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
Huh? So, all right, we are back, and Jackie would like to have a word with you.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Jillian. Hi, Janice.
What's going on,
Jackie?
So, I wrote into you last night. I had a question just about being like a recent college graduate and thinking I've tried everything I wanted to do for a career and trying all of those things and ending up with nothing left on my list. So I guess my question to you is just trying to maybe find out maybe possibly what's next.
Honey, how old are you?
Search for that.
You're a recent college graduate, but like, I don't want to presume you're in your early 20s, but
are you? So yeah, I'm 24. I just graduated 3 years ago.
Okay. One of my favorite jokes about this kind of conversation is that people tell like 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that they need to choose what they want to do with the rest of their life.
Right.
Like, that's the most ridiculous. How could you possibly choose what you want to do with your life when you're 18? You haven't done anything yet. You have no frame of reference. The misconception is that you should know at that time, and you should have some idea. And the reality is that, sure, so most people choose things that they think, well, this seems like a responsible thing to do, or this seems like it will pay the bills, or this seems like it's the adult thing, or this is what everybody else is doing. And the reality is that you'll either be miserable or it'll be short-lived. And here is what I not only think you should do, but what I think everybody should do in their life, no matter what their age. Start connecting with your passion. Try a million different things and be extremely present. How do you feel when you're doing it? What do you enjoy? And I don't want you to think like work. I mean life. If you go, you know, wind surfing on the weekend and you're like, oh my God, I love this. Maybe you become a windsurfing teacher and maybe you run a windsurfing business on an island in Hawaii and you're happy. I mean, my point is like, it doesn't have to be, I tried being an accountant. I didn't like it. I tried going into advertising. I didn't like it. I went and worked as a bank teller and I didn't like it. Like, don't think like that. Experience life. You know, I interned at a music label and discovered that I love music and I want to learn more about producing music. I went horseback riding with a friend and I, who knows, you know, I want to work with animals. I want you to just experience as much as you can. You're 24 years old. 24, right? She said 24?
Yeah.
Our last caller was 24. That's interesting. I want to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. You should be doing anything and everything that you can, obviously, where your health and your safety is not jeopardized. And find out what you love. And allow things to be very organic. You don't need a career right now. You need to enjoy your 20s. Be free-spirited and... sure, find a way to make enough money so that you can feed yourself and put a roof over your head. But don't think, oh, this is my career. It's facilitating your ability to find yourself. And I was talking a little bit earlier about being a a citizen of the world, you know, an indefatigable globetrotter. Like, just try everything and anything and see what you love. That's what you need to be doing right now. And take all the pressure away. It doesn't have to happen by the time you're 27 or 28 or 29 or 30. Like, allow it to happen when it happens organically and don't put a time frame on it.
Okay.
Why do you feel like you need to figure this out right now?
I think I've always just been ingrained from my parents just to have that career in place for the stability.
Yeah, but that's their fear.
Yeah.
That is their fear of like, oh my God, will she be okay? Oh my God. You know, like, oh my God. But the problem is that when you're functioning out of fear, you're going to make bad decisions to begin with.
Yeah.
You never want to.
I guess I shouldn't think of any of these jobs being time wasted, which is what my first instinct is. And I mean, you always tell that story about how you started out, you know, in the music business, but it ended up helping you in the long run. So
I was an entertainment industry. I ended up being a motion picture packaging agent. And yeah, it helped me out because you're right. I ended up, it was an agent at that agency that put me up for Biggest Loser. But at the same time, you'll learn things. Even in these experiences where you go, oh, well, I'm not going to be that kind of boss because I see how it affects. Like, even from my days of bartending, I'm able to look back and be like, okay, so I remember, like, the places where I would work at bars where we had a good boss, nobody would steal. And then you'd have a boss that was an a-hole that treated everybody terrible, and everybody would steal, left, right, and center. And I was thinking, I would just think, like, wow. This guy has got to be losing a couple thousand dollars a night out of a month. That's like $20,000+, all because he's an a-hole and everyone feels he deserves it. And it's like, even then I was like, okay, so if I want my employees to feel like, all right, you know, I have to pay them fairly and treat them fairly and then they'll be content. But you treat people like crap and you're going to pay for it in the long run. So even those kinds of jobs, I learned something. So I don't want you to be miserable, but I just right now try to, like, this whole thing about you have to have a career or else is a fear-based mentality. And in this world, the more security and stability you seek, when you're acting out of fear, the less you're going to have, which is exactly what you're experiencing right now. And instead, you know, the more risk you take, the more opportunity that you seek, that's where you're going to find a foundation, so to speak. So, again, you're 24 years old. Relax and enjoy your 20s. Don't ruin these years. They're meant for you to, like, backpack through youth hostels in friggin' Europe and, you know, eat top ramen and garbage so you can, you know, be a beach bum. And
I was a can-can girl when I was 24.
I don't want her to be a whore, Janice. That's not an option.
I'm sorry, Jackie.
I don't want to be either.
See, she doesn't want to be a whore. Yeah. Please keep it to yourself.
But that's when I was a can-can girl. My parents were concerned.
Yeah, and they should have been. I don't need Jackie on a pole. Can you please?
We weren't on poles. We were hurdy-gurdy girls.
I don't want.
Maybe she wants to be a can-can. There's lots of jobs in the Yukon.
She doesn't want to be a can-can girl.
You're telling her to eat top ramen and get bed bugs in youth hostels.
I'm telling her to be a free spit. She should get an STD and be emotionally scarred for life, pulling dollars out of her G-string. Her therapy bill will cost more than some lice shampoo.
We weren't strippers.
Stay out of it.
Jackie, can-can girls, people pay to come and see us dance.
Exactly.
Oh, never mind. I said that. Anyway, it's good advice for Jackie to go see Europe. Exactly.
Yeah, go be free.
Go be free.
Okay.
All right, but yeah.
Thank you guys so much. You guys are great.
Yeah, all so, right. Okay. Well, I don't know that our advice was any good now that it's like she can choose between a whore or like a transient.
But, I think I got it.
Okay.
Thanks, Jackie.
All right. Thanks, Jillian. Bye.
Bye, sweetie. Why do people do this to kids these days?
I know.
You got to get it together. You got to figure it out.
What do you mean these days? Jillian, that's been going on. That's what the guide, in my day, that's what the guidance teacher said. What are you going to be? I remember going in there at grade 10. They hauled us all in. What are you going to be? I'm 15.
10?
I don't know what I'm going to be. That's why I ended up being a can-can girl at 24. Yeah.
My God.
It's too much pressure. How are we supposed to know?
Jesus, I know people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that still don't know.
I know.
My mom didn't figure out what her passion was until she was after the divorce.
Yeah.
I was 13.
I bet you she was, what, late 30s, mid-30s or something?
I mean, let me do the math. Okay, so she went back to school, left PR. I'm 13. I'm 39. So was, how many years is that? 26 years ago? 26 years ago. My mom's 60-ish. So
she was like late 30s, early
40s.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think, you know what? I think so half the time.
Yeah.
That's when we get it figured out.
I mean, I didn't figure out that I was supposed to be a trainer until I was 20, almost 8.
And now what do you want to be? What do you want to do now?
I told you, I want to be.
I know.
I want to be an indefatigable globetrotter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Indefatigable.
Yeah. That.
That. And that. All right. Well, you be the infatigable, and I'm going to find you a picture.
Remember your glory days as a whore.
I'm going to remember my, and I'm going to bring you a picture. Next time, I promise, I'm going to bring you a framed picture of me as the can-can girl.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You can put that up in your on your mantle. And
thank
then Lou
you.
Can go, there's Manus.
Suck it, Manus.
All right. We got to go. Have a good day. Toodly-diddly-doo.
Why does it do that? It never just speaks English. Do you hear it? It can't just say.
You don't. Who's you with the infatigable people, globetrotter?
See what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.